Okay, I'm ready. Okay, this is the Board of Works and Safety meeting for July 9th. It's 5:01 p.m. Roll call, please.
Daniel.
Here.
Eagle.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, which was June 25th. I do have two changes, Rosie. I should have spoken before this, but I apologize. Fourth paragraph, which is the second paragraph under resolution for rural economic development loan. Okay. It should say on the second line, blue M medical instead of blue line medical.
M like M.
M as in like M. M as in like mighty or M&M.
As in Mary.
As in Mary, yes. And then in two paragraphs below that, on the last sentence it says, and there would documents supporting that. And I think it's supposed to be there were documents supporting that, I think.
Okay.
So I don't know if we want to have Sally look over that, but
okay.
That was the only two changes I've done. Have anything?
Okay,
can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as presented with those two changes.
Thank you.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Walt. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Unanimous. Okay. Move on to 301 North Line Street, the variance for a deck. Rosie, do you want to...
I had received this from Kathy Gardner where evidently these people had already put on this deck and had not got a permit, and so she said that they could not do anything until the Board of Works approved this for them to get a variance for this permit because it's in the right of way and the information. There's a drawing in there.
I got a picture.
Yeah, and there's pictures.
You know, it's interesting because in looking at it, it doesn't look like it's that close, but it must just be barely in the right of way on one side, or maybe both sides. Well, is it on both sides in the right of way, or just on Line Street?
Looks like there might be a little.
Yeah, I was gonna say it says no permit was obtained according to the survey for the property. Your deck has been, or the deck has been constructed within the right of way of both Line and Jefferson Streets.
So I guess before when I've seen issues like this, they want to have vacated a portion of just where the deck or whatever is hanging over. We went ahead and vacated a portion of that street, which meant they had to bring in a survey and then we'd approve the vacation of that. I've seen that done before, but I don't know if the variance, I wasn't sure exactly what the rules we had to abide by as far as if we just signed the variance, or does there have to be a vacation of the roads in that area? Because I remember up on Chicago, there was a time I remember drawing like a half a foot.
Well, if you go two houses to the north of this location, there's already another obstacle of fencing. That's right up along the sidewalk in the alley, right out by the road. So, I am, obviously he didn't follow the process, but I'm wondering if we could do the variance as long as he understands if we would ever have to get in that right-of-way, it would have to be removed, whatever's in the right-of-way, if it's obstructing what we need to fix.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think there's a lot of things when you really start getting a ruler out, and I don't see anything that's unsafe other than the process wasn't followed to obtain a permit. And I appreciate Kathy bringing it to our attention. But if you look underneath the wooden sidewalk, there's a ramp.
Right.
And the ramp is, just almost to the same spot.
But I guess one of the things they said about ramps, the ramp isn't...
They more quasi-structure?
I talked to Dave Sewell about that a little bit, and he was saying, ramps are not as... I don't know what the proper word would be as...
intrusive?
Yeah, intrusive as what a permanent deck is. So ramps really don't have a big issue.
Kelly? have you experienced anything similar to this where we've, in the past, what we've done? I can't think of any, but I know we have given variances for signs and, you know, where the sign goes in the right of way.
Yeah, I know there's issues like that all over town where there's probably like side of a house or something that's in, you know, the right-of-ways and garages and things like that. This, to me, is back far enough that it shouldn't be a hindrance to anybody, really. But, no, I guess I can't think of any particular ones that relate to that.
My question is the variance all we need to sign, or is there some other?
I think all we have to do is send them a letter approving the encroachment or a right of way.
So they have it for their record?
Yes, before they can get their permit. With the understanding that, like Walt said, that if we need to get in there for any reason, it might have to be removed. Part or portion of it.
Okay. I mean, I drove by there and I didn't see where it was hindering any view of any traffic or anything. I mean,
it was back far enough.
Yeah,
Just a question: if you would have to get into their structure, who's responsible to fix it?
In my assumption, would be to the owner of that property or whatever is obstructing. I mean, I know there's times we've had to go between houses where we've had to physically move trees or bushes that's in our right of way to get to our utility poles or to whatever, you know, and I think, you know, we kind of worked with the homeowner in those events, but.
Marcia, question for you. When we send this letter, if you will, this variance letter, whatever we want to call it, is there something that we can state in there that basically says if right-of-way work has to occur in this area, the expense is on you, or is that just automatically expected? If we have to tear down this deck in order to get through, I guess I'm just...
Yeah, because the property's not actually being, you know, obviously you're not deeding the property over to them.
Right.
It's in the right-of-way, or I mean, it is their property,
yeah.
So it's in the right-of-way. I think that's fair just to state that and then let them handle how they want to actually word it in their approval.
Is there anything we have to do in regards to the recorder's office to make sure that that's stated, or are
well,
we just...
Well, I think that's going to be on them.
Okay.
To settle that up, but I think as long as the city states we are approving the subject to the fact that it would be, of course, the owner's responsibility and on their expense if work needs to be done and whether it's, you know, whether it's the porch or whatever it might be needs to be. And hopefully there wouldn't be anything that have to be done because you sure wouldn't want that.
Okay.
But that's one of the risks you take in doing... You know, approving things in the right of way or even building in the right of way.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Do we need to research that and vacate that portion of the street where that's at?
And if, well,
I don't know if
you do that, if you've got something in there.
Well, that's what I mean.
What kind of work would be done? What would you might anticipate? Can you think what it would be?
Water leak, water main, water service, sewer line, sewer main.
I don't think
widening street.
That's going to be their responsibility anyway.
Up to the street.
Electric
the street.
Might have a pole or something.
But we may have to work in their yard in that right of way in order to get to that portion.
What I'm saying is we just vacate that portion right over next to the porch or the deck. I mean, I've seen us have to do that before.
Well, I sure want you to see that in an actual petition to vacate and go through the process.
Right.
That's something.
I understand what you're saying, Dan. I don't know if in this particular case, vacating a piece of a right of way is if we need to go to that level. I mean, that's just kind of, I mean, once you give something away, it's hard to ever get it back. And then all of a sudden, you got a right of way that has a jog in it.
I was just trying to protect our other possibility of problems.
Well,
have to tear it out or have to.
Well, that's a risk that we have at many locations.
Right.
But I think for the record, of keeping the right of way footage is equal as much as possible.
I could draw this thing, but it's just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, I can. Yeah.
I've drawn a half a foot before.
That's a lot of expense to just compromise. So.
I just try to protect our both sides.
Yeah. Well, I think I would just be, I would feel comfortable just doing the variance, and if there's issues in the future, if we need to work through that process, I'd be okay with, you know, going through that whole process potentially. But as of right now, I think just doing the variance seems like that may be.
Proper wording.
I'm sorry?
Proper wording.
Yes, yes, sorry. With the proper wording explaining who would be responsible in the case if we have to do right-of-way work.
So would that be something Marcia would draft?
Yeah, she said she would.
Yeah, I'll take care of it.
So do we need to approve that tonight, or do we want to wait until you have something for us?
No, you can approve it, and then you don't need to approve by letter. You just approve you and Rosie.
You feel comfortable with that?
On behalf of you.
Okay. Then I'll make a motion that we... I guess approve the variance with the additional changes that we explained to Marcia.
Second.
Okay. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. See, Jeremiah is here, so we're gonna pop over to your issue. So basically, what we've done in the past, if you want to go down. Board of Works members, if you want to go down to the letter that we sent to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, you and I know Tim's not here tonight, Tony's in his place, but I know you and Tim and I have been working on this for about a year now? Maybe a year and a half? I don't know. It's been a little while now. And working on trying to get that property taken care of. What I think I'll have you do, Jeremiah, if it's okay, if you wouldn't mind, will you come up to the microphone and don't worry, you're just being recorded for public purposes. We're not going to do anything put in over the loudspeaker. But basically, if you will, talk a little bit about the history. I know you guys bought the property, or you're renting the property or something, that and it was in a certain amount of shape then, and now you guys have been working on it. So why don't you kind of give a brief overview of that, and then Board of Works may have some questions for you.
Okay. I can't remember exactly when we bought the house, but when we got there was a lot of debris and steel and garbage buried in the backyard. There was two semi-trailers, a big truck bed with a box built onto it, tires, concrete poles, and actual garbage buried in the back. And I took all that stuff and put it in a big dirt pile, you know, because dirt came with it. And we did get a dumpster. The city helped us with a dumpster, and we filled that on and beyond what we should have put in it, but they took it, so that helped. We've been steady hauling stuff out of there since it's been dry. I mean, I'm not going to tear up my place, you know, any worse than I have to when it's been wet. My goal was to have it done by July 1st, and I did not meet that. I came close, but still working on it. We hauled trailer loads and truckloads out, cut a bunch of the firewood that was out there, but that's about where we're at with it. I mean, there's still stuff there, and we're still taking it out and cleaning it.
And I know that, like I said, I know Tim and Jeremiah and I have been working on this for a little while now. One of the, I guess, agreements that we had was July 1st, and then if that came and it wasn't sufficiently cleaned up, that you'd have to come here to Fort Worth. I will say there are some neighborhood disputes in this area. Would you say that's a fair statement, Jeremiah?
At minimum, yeah.
Yeah. So there is some neighborhood disagreement in that area. Some of Jeremiah's neighbors and Jeremiah don't necessarily get along very well. Try to get along, but it doesn't happen all the time. Jeremiah has tried to do a fire of sorts, and that got taken care of, and we kind of worked on that a little bit, and said maybe some small recreational fires would work. And I know there's some times that the neighbors don't like that for whatever reason. So
yeah, if they see me having a fire, they can't have that.
So it comes down to you now that. You know, in accordance with our ordinances, we've tried to be pretty lenient with Jeremiah. We've worked with you and want to continue working with you so that property can get cleaned up. But it is a large undertaking. So I guess I would just open it up to the board. If you have questions of Jeremiah, I'd be very welcoming of that. And I don't know. I think what I'll do is I'll go ahead and show Jeremiah the pictures that we have, and we can kind of explain those a little bit in order. So,
here's the pictures.
So this is the first one. Do you want to kind of, if you cleaned up anything, or these were taken.
Okay, my door's so,
yeah,
okay.
I'm not sure exactly when these were taken. So, okay.
Well, it's hard to see on top of the hill here, but that is actually flat, and then there's a hill that goes up to that red barn. There was a lot of debris. You see my door laying there? That's a new door that goes on the back of that building. The wind blew it over. But all that stuff that's on that hill, all that debris right there, was up there. And I used the tractor and pushed it all down, you know, trying to put it in more piles. And you can see there's a stack of wood here that we stacked. I mean, there's multiple stacks there. These pallets that are loose laying out there, we were actually using them because I got dingo stuck because the ground's holding water since I cut the trash out of it. The garage would be to the left, and they had built up the ground at a slope, and they buried garbage in there, and that's where I cut it out. And the pile you can see on the right, just the very edge of the dirt pile. But I mean, it's a big project. It's a lot bigger than my wife and I anticipated.
Okay. Into the second picture.
There you can see the back of the garage, and all this wood that's laying here. I mean, there's actually wood in the ground still, because there's still water sitting in there. And that's another pallet. A stack of pallets that I couldn't get out yet. I mean, I haven't tried this week, but yeah, I was burying the dingo. I don't know if you know what that is. It's like a little forklift, a mini bobcat.
Next picture.
That's the. Yeah, it's a. This is more to the right of the first picture. It shows more of the dirt hill.
That'd be to the west, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the first.
Toward your neighbors.
Now this would be facing Moore, so it'd okay. Be south.
Yeah, so you'd be facing south.
Yeah, this picture's facing the south.
Okay. Next picture.
And that's facing north.
Yeah. So
pretty much what it looks like right now.
So if you look ahead, that fence rail on the left-hand side, that fence actually intersects basically with Hannah Street. Just to give you a visual as to where that's at. So the garage is on the right-hand side, the fence is on the left-hand side. And actually, Jeremiah's property is probably one of the larger properties in Columbia City. Would you say that's, I mean, it has a pretty large backyard and area. We'll go to the next picture.
Yeah, this is just right beside the garage here. I mean, it's flat there, and I cut all that. And you can see there's still water standing there.
Next picture.
That's the front. And this right here on the right, it looks all tore apart right there. That was a pile we were cutting it up.
Okay. Next picture. It's the front of the garage.
Tires.
Like. Mm-hmm. And what about here in the background? You have some things up against the garage.
Yeah, these right here that are up against the garage here, those wood beams, those are actually going in my house. During this whole process, we've been working on the house, making it livable. And right now, our commode's falling through the floor. It's doing one of these numbers. And I'm a big guy, so it's high on my list to fix.
Okay. Next picture. And that's probably about the same thing.
Yeah,
what
I mean,
is this teepee type looking
thing? Well, that's my ladder.
Oh, okay, that's your ladder. Okay, that's what I figured it was. But.
It was out there for oiling.
Okay, and next picture.
This is right beside the garage and the top barn, the red building in the front. The one that's laying up there, I actually had to go over to my mother's and mow. These were all in the truck, so I had to put the tractor in the truck. The one that's on up there on the hill is how I loaded the tractor and unloaded the tractor.
Okay. I think that's it. Okay. Thank you. Board of Works, do you have questions of Jeremiah?
Are you renting or running this property?
I'm buying it.
You're buying it. Okay.
Yeah.
So you acquired this property with all of this?
Yeah, 90% of it.
It's already there prior.
And yeah, the old man,
how long
Keith
have you,
Rupert.
How long have you lived there?
About a year, a little over a year. I can't tell you exactly because I can't remember what I was doing yesterday.
It is. And I will say, Jeremiah has made some significant progress, especially inside of the barns and the garage. I didn't necessarily see how that was when you guys first moved in, but I know it looks, at least it did, look a lot more orderly the last time I was out there.
Well, when we got it, that garage and barn was full of, you name it. I mean, it wasn't good for nothing. Wood, rotten clothes, you name it. There was no prizes in there.
Tony, I don't know if Tim briefed you on this project at all, or if you have any comments that you'd like to...
You know, my only... observations about now, I haven't been in it from the beginning, but I have been out there to the property on several occasions. And to me, sometimes it appears like even with the stuff you already had there, you've accumulated stuff since then as well. And I continue seeing stuff accumulate even after you get rid of stuff. So my question is, why is that happening, I guess?
Well, every year in junking season, I do accumulate steel and scrap. I do accumulate during the trash season, but I have not brought anything since it ended. I mean, we've cleaned out all the scrap, and all our scrapping goes right there in front of the garage, the big garage there with the doors where the ladder is, and we prep everything. Now, we tried to get it where we could take everything inside because we could actually drive through. Go in the west side, I guess, and pull out the north side. And that's how I wanted to do it this year, but we didn't get it done. That way nobody could complain about junk. You know, we pull in there, put it where it needs to go, clean it, carry on. But yeah, as far as that goes, that's the only bringing in. Now, we have been moving around a lot. I mean, stuff out of the top barn. There's still bunches of wood up in there that we've been taking out and cutting up.
The one thing I noticed, Jeremiah, in a lot of these pictures is it looks like there's a whole lot of wood everywhere. I mean, it looks like that's, you know, the wooden pallets that are there, the piles of wood, that kind of stuff. It doesn't look like it's so much of like a metal issue. It doesn't look like it's stuff like that. It looks to me like it's just a lot of wood.
Well, see, I had all the pallets out back where that ground's soft. Mm-hmm. And I got all them pallets to burn during the winter. And I didn't get a stove bought, so obviously I didn't burn the wood. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've been trying to get rid of them. You know, because it's obviously a problem for my neighbors, me having it uncut, you know, and prepped. So I've been cutting it and taking it over, and it's stacked at my mother's place.
I guess if we were to give you an extension, you know, how much longer would it take to get this at least better organized and cleaned up?
Over, I can't really tell you a good time. I can't give you a time frame because when I was working, I actually hurt my back, and I couldn't do nothing for like 7-8 days. I didn't go to work. I didn't do anything at all. I couldn't. And I'm just now getting where I can start doing stuff, and I've been moving stuff and cleaning and working in the garage. Actually, back to work.
My next question: if you have a medical issue, or you know why?
If Jeremiah, if we were to, and I'm not saying we're going to, but if we were to get another big dumpster for your another big, you know, what are those called? Dumpsters, basically, another big dumpster for you. Do you think that would take care of the issue?
Most of it, yeah.
Okay.
Like 90%.
In that situation, like I said, there's a whole lot of wood there, and it sounds like what your thought was, at least going into this last winter, was to use that wood to heat your house or whatever. So I guess the question for me is, if we were to decide to get you another dumpster to help you out, would that be a situation where you would use that, but you'd still keep a lot of these wood piles because you have this plan of...
At this point, I don't even want it.
Oh, okay. So it'd be something where you could fill that dumpster and...
I'm over it, so to speak, you know.
I gotcha.
Right.
And if the Board of Works would want to do that, I have an account that could take care of that, and that would be the Board of Works' thought. I know, like he had mentioned, we did that last year to help him out, and I think it did help out. He is right. I mean, it was built to capacity plus, and got a lot of that stuff out of there. And actually, the property does look better than it did last year when Tim and I got over there. It's still not where it needs to be, of course, and Jeremiah obviously would agree with that. But what would be your opinion?
I don't want to set a precedence for every home that has debris issues, but we also bought this property knowing that this situation existed prior to. I guess one of my thoughts is if you could get that garage cleaned out to where you could maybe store some of this exterior stuff in there. And here's, I know you're taking kind of prioritize what's of value to you and what isn't of value to you. So that way, you know, if you can fill that dumpster and then, you know, move some of that stuff of value to you inside the garage so it's not, you know, kind of being a nuisance to your neighbors, I suppose, if you say it the best way. But, I mean, I don't know, part of me don't want to set a precedence, but at the same time, we've done it once.
It may take care of the issue.
It might help take care of the issue for it.
Yeah. I think there are some extenuating circumstances here. I mean, you know, obviously they are working to try to get the property better. You know, he's working inside the house. I understand that. It has been a work in progress between Tim and I and Jeremiah. I know that, like I said, he has made some progress, not as far as we'd like, and I don't think not as far as he'd like, but... we have made some progress in regards to that, so I can understand. Walt, you've been awful quiet over there.
Is that unusual?
Maybe a little bit. What's your opinion?
Oh, I'm all over the board. I think it's a tough call, okay? And I think there's ways that. We may be able to, again, work through this. You get a dumpster, the challenge is you still have the physical work that needs to be done. No matter if I throw it in the garage, if I throw it in the dumpster, or where do I put it, okay? And I think
might be other ways to initiate help from manpower wise. And I know through churches or organizations or whatever. I mean, I think it's good for people to help people. Okay? And I think the task that you've got here is greater than you and your wife can do in a timely manner. Is that? That's kind of what I'm referring to. So if I brought a dumpster in, obviously you still got a lot of work to fill up that dumpster. And I think there's more than just a dumpster challenge. I think we need some volunteers to help.
Well, we have three older children that help us.
Yeah.
I mean, a 13-year-old and 11 and 10-year-old.
But to make a dent in a timely manner,
they do help.
Is still going to take a lot of time and dedication to focus on what's outside, because you got, like you said, you've got issues on the inside to resolve as well.
I get a dumpster, it's gone. I'm tired of the hassle. I don't like my neighbors looking at it. I don't like looking at it. We bit off more than we could chew, so to speak. And I was pregnant last year at this time, far along in the pregnancy. So I wasn't much help to
him. Right.
And yes, a lot of it was there when we obtained the property. You know, we just wanted to get our kids a home, get out of the parents, you know.
Sure.
Because we had taken a hard fall from the last home.
Sure.
So, whether you get us a dumpster or whether I figure out how to get a dumpster, everything's going. I don't want it.
Right.
I just don't.
You know, and I look at it, again, there's many things that will be gained by this. Obviously, there's rodents and mosquitoes and standing water and high weeds. And you want to, I know you want to be a good neighbor, okay? But sometimes good neighbors will have a rub when they have challenges like this, okay? So I appreciate what you're sharing with me, that you're ready to make it happen too, and we're ready and your neighbor's ready, so... I don't know if we can answer that question yet tonight about the dumpster.
Okay.
But I support working with them to see what we can do.
Is there a timeline at all that we want to try to establish? I mean, obviously, you know, I know they're going to keep working on it. I know it's something we want to keep working with them on. But, you know, I know there's also some of their neighbors that have asked for some kind of a timeline. I know we don't want to really get into the middle of neighborhood disputes by any means, but I do think that, you know, obviously the reason that they're here is because we did have a timeline, an unofficial timeline, if you will, and that wasn't met, and so I feel like we need to have something.
Has there been anything issued from citations or any warnings or?
Not at this point.
Nothing has went to that level.
No, because it's been extended or.
Because again, we've been trying to work with them. Now I know that I think there's been some warnings, but I don't think there has been any kind of fining that has taken place yet.
All right.
I guess. Part of me is I guess I have Lena kind of like walking all over the place too. Part of me is leaning a little bit to go ahead and go for the dumpster. If we can, like I say, you might need some assistance to help get this taken care of. Maybe Rob will try to contact some churches and help them make this thing at least stacking up appropriately.
If we set up, my office can definitely work on it, but if we were to set up a Saturday or something where I could round up a whole bunch of people or something to come out and help put that stuff in the dumpster, would that be something you guys would be open to? If I could round up a group of individuals?
That's fine.
Say what?
That's fine with me.
Okay.
I mean.
And that maybe that's something that, you know, within the next month, maybe we can find a time to do that and maybe do that in conjunction with a dumpster, depending on when we get one delivered. And
right.
Does that seem like a good compromise? And maybe we can give them... I don't know if you want to do maybe a 2 month or something to give them some leeway for that extra stuff that isn't going to go in the dumpster.
Pick the hottest month of the year.
Yeah, I know. We typically do things like that. So.
I'm more willing to extend this, I would say 60 days. And then
let's work together. I mean, I don't think I can answer it tonight, but let's work together to see what we can come up with. What the mayor suggested, the volunteers, the dumpster. I just know that I think we can work through that. And Marsha, I guess from your perspective, are there any concerns from volunteering and trying to do things like that?
Community efforts?
No. So I think the question is the dumpster, and I think we just maybe we can come up with some other ways to support that dumpster, either through private donation or whatever. I think we can work through that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, do you want to make a motion that we have a 60-day extension on there, and then I guess my office will work on
coordinating a volunteer day.
Okay. Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show the usual signs. It's unanimous. Okay, Jeremiah, we'll revisit this in 60 days. In the meantime, we'll work to try to set up something to help you guys out, and we'll figure out the dumpster issue along the way. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming in. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Okay. Next up, let's go to the trail expansion quotes. Those are in your Dropbox. Kelly, do you want to take that over? I know you kind of took it over for Jeff when he went on medical leave. So,
yeah, this is the Blue River Trail West extension that the mayor, myself, Mark, Jeff was working on. And this is basically from Main Street over to Lyon. And we sent out three quotes for pricing on constructing the trail. And we had three of them come back. And Niblock was the lowest. And I guess it'd be our recommendation to award the path to Niblock for $34,500.
And just to let the Board of Works know, this is one of my pet projects for this year. So this is an extension that we're working with Marsha on, and like I said, Jeff was working on it before he left. So I've reviewed the quotes. I think they're all in good standing. I would agree with Kelly's recommendation.
Unless CIP or is this?
Let's see.
Stormwater.
Say what?
Stormwater, right?
Well, if you remember, this was set aside in CCD, and then it got used for to finish off the bridge and other trails. So then council approved, I think, it coming out of Riverboat, if I remember correctly. Okay.
Cars came out of Riverboat.
Yeah. Okay. The trail was an additional appropriation from the council, I want to say a month or two ago, probably 2 months ago.
Okay.
So and that was for $35,000. So we're right under.
Right.
right there. Yeah. So. Anybody else have questions? Okay, if not, I'll make a motion that we approve the quote from Niblock for the trail extension for $34,500.
Second.
Motioned by myself, seconded by Dan. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you for that. Okay, thanks, Kelly. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to mix it up a little bit, so please bear with me. I appreciate you doing that. Let's go ahead and do department head reports, and Mike, I'll have you stay back, okay? And
if you want to wait till council, that's fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'll stay for council.
Okay.
Mayor, I did have that.
Oh, sorry.
The street closing.
Oh, yes, I apologize. Let's do the 4-H street closing then.
Mayor, I don't know. Steve Lemon's here now.
Oh, I apologize.
That was the first thing. I think he came in after that, so I don't know if you guys want to talk about that a little
bit. Oh, okay. Thank you. Apologize. I didn't know, so I'm glad you're here. We had some discussion, and basically what it came down to was we approved the variance of that structure, but we made the note that if for some reason we have to work in the right of way, that ultimately if we had to do something to take down that deck, or we had to get into that right of way area, which I think it's probably just a sliver on both sides, but if we were to do that, then any kind of reconstruction would have to be your own cost. But if there's additional information that you'd like to add or put forward, but so we approved the variance for you. Yeah. It was just a question of how do we work in the future if we have to work in that right of way. Okay. Well, thanks for coming. I apologize. If I would have known that, I would have told you a lot earlier.
They told me you're done by 5:15. So.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you. Appreciate
thank
that.
You.
Okay, so back to the street closing permit, the 4-H, they've remembered that that they forgot to turn in their street closing permit, so is it the same route as normal, Rosie?
Yeah, the only thing different is they're having a race. And so they're having the race and then the parade.
Okay.
And the only ones I had approved was the fire chief and the police chief because it didn't really affect the utilities.
Okay.
So. And neither one of them have a problem.
Okay.
What are they racing, just curiosity?
They're with themselves.
Oh, it's a race.
Looks like a race.
It's a
okay.
People.
Gotcha.
People race.
So then the parade's from 6 to 6:30, or?
That's normally a pretty short.
Yeah.
Do I have a motion to approve?
I make a motion we approve the request for the street closing as presented.
Second.
Motion by Walt, seconded by Dan. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. So, appreciate your willingness to push off that. So what we'll do is we'll department heads, except for Mike, you're dismissed if you would like to. We're gonna talk about Donahue, and then we're also gonna talk about bills after that. So okay, Donahue agreement.
What this is, it's an agreement between Donahue and Associates for their services to do programming and upkeep on our SCADA system whenever we have a problem. Over the last 2 years, we've had an open PO that Rosie keeps calling me about, and we keep having it open for them to do work, and we have a little bit of money left on that, which we'll be using that up, and then we don't have any left.
When you say we'll be using that up, do you mean we'll be using that up prior to this agreement?
Yeah.
Okay, so that has nothing. So
unless
that
we go into the agreement, but that PO is, we will close that PO out first before anything would be built against the agreement or go towards this agreement.
Okay.
Because we still have that open, that money still set aside. And after that, they don't, I talked to them on the phone today, and what they cannot work without some type of agreement or an issued PO, something like that, because of their insurance.
Okay.
They have to have something to be able to bill against, so you can't just call them and say, come in and do this. They have to have something. And like I said, we've had a PO open for 2 years now with Rosie, and I thought, this would just be something that, when we need them to be on call, they come in, they would do the work, they would charge, they would bill for it, then we'd be done. It's not going to cost us anything if we don't have it or don't use them. I mean, there's no monthly fee.
You mean out of that $10,000?
Right.
So we wouldn't be eating away at that $10,000 unless they're doing work for us, is what you're
saying. Unless they're doing work for us. And there is some work that Brady would do, and then there's some work I talked with him today that the other guy in the office would be able to do once Brady showed him, and he is at a cheaper hourly rate than what Brady is. Because Brady isn't, through their company, is an E4 engineer, and his rate is $160 an hour, and Andy's is a E3, and he is $135 an hour. So obviously, on some mode, depending on what it is, we would have Andy come in because it's going to be cheaper on an hourly rate than having Brady come in.
Mm-hmm.
there are certain things that Brady's going to be able to do that Andy might not be able to do. So, but this is something that I wanted to do for quite a while. We aren't the only ones. I mean, there are several other cities out there that have agreements like this with them. Mm-hmm. It's just something that I brought to the board and discuss it and see where we'll go from there.
So here's my question then. Is this agreement only for, and I'm trying to remember here, is this agreement only for 2013, or is it says, I think it's 3 years. But in part 3, section A, it talks about the cost of these services shall not exceed $10,000 in 2013 unless additional services and budget are authorized by the owner. And then in the billing records portion, I think it says that's access to billing records, so never mind. Scratch that. So is this only for 2013? Or this agreement can be extended till the end of 2014?
They do them a year at a time.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. So here's my question. We're halfway through 2013 now. Am I to assume then that if
that 10,000, that is just a figure.
Okay, so it's just a number that
it's just a number, just to be safe.
Okay,
I threw that number out there when I had him draw this up. I threw that out there. Are we going to get to that?
Yeah. So it's kind of like our stormwater agreement with the soil and water group. That we basically say, here's the max number we're going to spend per year. You're still going to bill based on your hours and stuff, but we probably won't hit that number. Basically, is what the Soil and Water Conservation District agreement said. That's kind of the same thing as we're setting a benchmark of saying we can go no higher than this dollar amount unless an agreement happens.
If we would go over that, then obviously they cannot do any work, and I would have to get approval from obviously the city. The city would have to prove more money
over the 10,000.
Above the 10,000.
Right.
Like I said, I just pulled that number out.
Right.
Out of the air.
We would have a history of the POs that you billed for the last 2 years or 3 years to give you an average. If Rosie's had an open PO, she'd have cut a check.
For the last 2 years, I can tell you we started out at 880, and then we amended that agreement, and it went to 20. I wish I had that right in front of me.
When you say 880, do you mean 8,000 or
$880?
$880.
And then I think we went to $2,600 or $2,700, and we still have 960 left on that right now.
And that was for this last year, or
I knew I should have copied that. It was in 2010. Sometime in 2010 is when we actually opened that PO up.
So what I hear you saying is basically we haven't spent anywhere. We probably haven't even spent $5,000 in the last 3 years. Am I doing my math right?
Yeah. No, we probably haven't. Now, once we do this project, I've talked to the council. I've also talked to the boards many times. You've heard me say that the headworks building flooded again and things like that. And I discussed with the mayor. One of the projects that I've been working on with them is to try to figure out to stop that from happening and figure out what is happening is that the system, when they installed them years ago, when ours was installed, they put breakers in the system. And say this is the leads of one part of the panel. There's one breaker covering all of these. Well, if there's a surge, the surge goes out, goes through all that, and then actually comes back through and surges the UPS and shuts that panel down. So then there's nothing, and then we flood. And the breakers aren't quick enough to catch those surges. So what we were going to do, and I misquoted you the other day when I was talking to you on the phone, I said 2,000 is probably going to be closer to 3,000.
Okay.
But we're going to go through and we're going to replace, instead of having breakers covering, you know, the 15 different lines that are going out, each line will be individually fused, so if there is a surge, that fuse will blow instantly and stop that from coming back into the UPS and shutting the system down, as way as it explained to me.
Okay, so at least $3,000-ish of this $10,000 would be put to try to stop the flooding at the Headworks facility.
Right. And 2 weeks ago when he was in, there was a whole bunch of issues that he worked on. He actually troubleshooted the panels for us, figured out the stuff was wired wrong from when it was put in, put it, rewired it the way it's supposed to be, and then fixed a problem that we were having that he discovered was his problem when I told you that in the program and it was buried three or four layers deep.
Yeah, right.
So he didn't charge us anything for that. And that was probably close to $1,000 worth of labor if he would have built it. And he didn't charge us anything because he made that one mistake on in the programming.
I gotcha.
So he did all that other work for nothing.
Questions?
And like I told the mayor, we don't have to act on this tonight. I mean, it's just open for discussion, you know, changes, whatever you guys think.
Well, what's making me hard to read this, the intent of this, is called engineering service agreement. Okay? And to me, a service agreement is something that I already own, that I pay a flat fee for, and then whatever happens in that time period, they take care of it, no cost, because I'm paying a service fee.
I see what you're saying.
Okay. This is an open checkbook in my mind. It's an open PO. It's just another method of, in my mind, this is just guaranteeing them that they've got a $10,000 opportunity.
They can't draw any of that unless we approve it. Or I should say,
well, right. I understand.
I have to approve the work before you know they could do it or bill it. I don't see it as an open checkbook because it has to be approved by us before.
Well, I guess I don't see the value in this differently than it operates today. If something's broke, you call them. They give you a quote or give you a proposal or they tell you it's going to cost X amount. Then you call Rosie because it's under a dollar value that you have the authority to prove. They come and fix it. We cut them a PO and we're done. I'm trying to understand what value does this bring to the city as a service agreement. All it is setting aside money. It's not giving me any added value. If there was added value, it would be an added discount because I'm willing to write a contract with them for X amount of months that should lower their cost to us because I'm willing to commit that to them.
You're basically saying it's helping them because it's guaranteeing them that they would be the one we'd go to for this work.
Right. Because we
and you're saying you're not seeing the value to us because there's no reduced rate or anything like that in us locking them in as the service provider up to $10,000.
And again, the concept is as I is again it just says service agreement. It's really them. We're signing a contract with them that they'll be our prime vendor at no reduced rate. And I guess my question is if it, I mean, when we talked on the phone the other day, you shared with me that they wasn't really being that responsive, and by signing this contract, it would make them more responsive.
I would think so.
Okay. Well, my problem is if they're not responsive today, and I have to sign a contract with somebody, I would really question it even more, because to me that I'm not getting the service that I should get on a normal basis.
No, I'm not saying that you know it would be any sooner. I would hope it would be, but there's no way in here or nowhere did he say that if we do this that it will be any quicker. And not that it's horrible. It's just that if you call and ask him something today, he may not be able to do it because you know he's in Goshen or he's on Fort Wayne or he's somewhere else or he's in Wisconsin.
Well,
and on a case like that, then it's going to be something that, you know, maybe Andy can come, which is going to be cheaper.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Is there other vendors that we've worked with in the past that does the same kind of work?
They were the ones that installed. They didn't actually install, but they're the ones that programmed it from the start. And they're the ones that he wrote the program. Nobody else has actually done anything with the programming. it's only been them, and he's made all kinds of different modifications to it that
become custom proprietary software.
Okay. Right. Software, I mean, basically, if they've installed it, they've put in the work.
We have the software out there, but he's put it in and it's actually, I don't know if I want to say manipulated, but actually changed things because we have it set up and it's like, we don't like that. We want this and we want it to operate like this.
So they've gone based on our recommendations, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and he's actually set up and programmed our system to make it work the way we want it to work. If that makes any sense.
I'm trying to draw a contrast as to what this would look like in another utility. So what would this same type of thing look like if it were in the water utility? What would be something that would be similar? So I'm not contrasting, I'm trying to compare. What would that look like if it were something in the electric utility? Would it be something like Spectrum Engineering, where they're the ones that do a lot of our electric engineering, and so they know our system, so it's kind of safe to have a something with them?
And
is that kind of the same type of...
Yeah, and Spectrum, if I have any programming, same way with the electric department, anything in dispatch that has to be done, Spectrum is the one that does it, because they're the ones that set up that system, program that system in dispatch. Same way at our utility, Donahue's the one that done that. The unfortunate thing is that when I have a lift station that I have to have something done, Donahue does the plan, so we can see it there, and then that information from there is sent uptown, and then to see it uptown and be able to use it functionally there, Spectrum has to come in.
Do we have a contract with Spectrum for this thing?
No, because they only if dispatch has
neither.
And I haven't had anything up there, so no, there's nothing, but at the plant, we've always had something there.
But see, here's where I'm just sharing with you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the 12 months, and if I've got $8,000 still in there,
mm-hmm.
it stays there. I mean, I keep that money.
Correct.
And it rolls over to the next year, until the next year, until that pot's empty. And when the pot's empty, then we put more money back into it. But I'm saying we can still get to the same end results without a contract.
Without the agreement.
And that's all I'm saying. I don't see the added value to commit myself in a contractual agreement with Donahue.
Does the city still do blanket POs? Because years ago we had blanket POs.
Well, what if you use the contract as leverage, though, for what Walt's talking about, trying to negotiate down the rate based upon the fact that maybe...
I've already talked to him, and he talked to him, and they won't come down that as a company-wide throughout. That's what they charge.
What about response time?
I understand, I'm not one of the ones, just
from a perspective of reviewing this, those are some of my questions anyway, that I understand where you're coming from. I mean, you can't use the contract as leverage, not necessarily leverage, but to secure something better, then it is sort of questionable.
In all honesty, they really don't care if we sign it or not. I mean, they're as long as they, it doesn't matter whether he gets a PO or we have this, just as long as there's a way that they're getting paid or there's something like that so he can come out and do the work. It really doesn't matter.
So is this maybe something, and
I was doing this, I keep skipping over Dan, so I apologize.
But
I was doing this to keep from having the open PO the whole time.
Okay.
But if the city still does a blanket PO, which I don't know if Walt remembers, years and years ago we used to have a blanket PO.
Well,
there was a group
of accounts, I think, kind of closed that opportunity because they don't like just they like invoices and receipts so they can watch it.
So we used to have a number issued and you use that for like one the whole year.
Right.
Yes. And
so,
you know,
so Dan, before I step over you, go ahead.
Well, I was just coming off of this, as far as there are a certain amount of freedoms that you have as a superintendent by having this in place, is there a freedom to make choices quicker by having this agreement in place, as far as, you know, when you call them or you make the call, whether we, I mean,
not necessarily, no, because of anything, you know, obviously if it's going to be thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, I have to have some type of approval anyway, or I always do. For him to come in and, you know, spend a couple hours reprogramming, no. you know, come in, do it, bill me, and
well, I
worked off a PO.
As we work through this, it seems like we do have all our eggs in one basket in knowledge of programming.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm just saying you may want to consider looking at a backup vendor and be willing to look at that, because if something would happen that Donahue can't respond to what your needs are, mm-hmm. contractually or no contractually, you're stuck until they get here, right?
That's where
I'm just saying it's something that we need to have a backup plan in that level.
But I'm not sure.
And I can always ask them, because that's one thing I didn't ask. You know, if we sign this, are you going to be here, you know, like that? That's one I did not ask that.
Well,
I don't know that that's going
to
make any
difference. Response time isn't the issue here.
But
that's... So.
Did Donahue initiate this, or is this something that was...
This contract?
Yeah.
I asked for it.
Okay.
This is something that I wanted to do for quite a while. That's why I asked and requested this to be drawn up and have it done.
Okay,
but I mean, so I can gather more information if you ask me questions, and I can, you know.
Well, here's my question, Mike. If we decide not to go through with this agreement,
mm-hmm.
and we still have the open PO, I mean, it sounds like you may be finishing off the open PO currently. If there is an issue with our SCADA system, is that something that if you call them up and say, hey, I need this done, they're going to say, okay, here's our hourly rate? Or is it something that they're going to say, okay, we're going to need a PO for this amount to basically ensure that we can respond? I guess I'm just trying to figure out, if we don't go with the agreement, how would we still handle
those issues? You issue a PO when you issue them a PO. As long as they have something, a number to bill against, they're fine.
Okay.
So that's the business. Then they go back and ask them, you know, the difference between a PO and this. You know, what am I gaining by doing this? And I didn't have that in.
Yeah, I guess I would like to, about like when I'm buying a car or something, I want to look at the positives and the negatives.
Yeah.
You know, what is our distinct advantage? I know you've explained that, you know, somewhat, but I'm kind of a paper kind of guy. I'd like to see what is my advantages if we enter into this, and what is our
disadvantage.
What's
your approval number, Mike? What things that you're allowed to approve dollar wise without coming to the Board of Works?
And the 10,000.
Well, I was told at one time it was 10,000, but
or was it 8?
I thought it was 10.
I don't know.
I knew it was right in there.
I guess the point of me bringing that up is,
you know, years ago I got a tractor for, I won't remember this, it was like $6,000. I brought it to the board because I wasn't going to go buy a $6,000 tractor unless they said it was okay.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
So I guess what I'm just saying is, if Donahue came, you know, or if you were working on the system and Donahue said, hey, we can do this with the SCADA system and it's going to cost $3,000. You could approve that without coming to us.
Correct.
As long as Rosie says you have the money for it, basically.
Correct.
Okay. So, Dan, what you're asking for is what are the pros and cons of this versus not doing it, pros and cons?
Yeah, I mean, that's where I kind of feeding off on a little bit of what Walt was saying. You know, what is our advantage? Are we at a... I'd always like to be at an advantage when I sign a contract.
Yeah.
You know, for as far back as the city. So what is our advantage of doing this versus not doing
it? Is this a situation, Mike, where does this give you any more independence to be able to approve projects? Yeah, well, I think that question was asked, quicker or anything like that, or not really?
I don't think so, because okay. We need it done, we just do it. Normally it's just a couple hours at a time.
I think the again, as we all say, we'd like to have a little advantage if we commit ourselves for somebody long term. And you've asked them about their hourly rate.
Yeah, that they won't change.
And that they won't change. So I think we're just at an even play. You know, they're not gaining nothing and we're not gaining nothing.
Well, they're gaining first right of refusal, basically, with having that open PO or having this service agreement.
But then there must, if we ever get to that level, then we must have some serious issues. So
I see what you're saying. Well, yeah, because we, I mean, I see what you're saying. Because we could still go to a different vendor.
We've never been denied when we've passed any recommended vendor work.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
I just thought, you know, this might be a little easier, and maybe it's going to be a little bit more difficult doing it this way.
Is there a difference in paperwork? Do you know? By having this agreement versus not having this agreement? For Rosie, do you know? And maybe that's the question we'll have to ask her when she's back. But
I wouldn't think so, because whether it's a PO and they send you a bill with the PO number on it,
yeah,
they issue a bill, or they send this and it's a bill and I just code it to whatever account I'm going to pay it out of,
mm-hmm,
which, you know, I would just code it under maintenance and or develop a special, probably develop an account or some type of account number for just this specific thing, since it's just deals with the skating system. I don't know how she would want to do that, so I don't know what would be the easiest.
Okay. Well, it sounds like, at the very least, we need a little bit more information, and we'd like to be an advantage, although it sounds like if they're not willing to give, I'm not sure that we're interested in the agreement.
And we can do it by PO, too. We can have POs issued. So I'll call and talk to him, but he should be in next week. Hopefully do some of that fusing work.
Oh, okay.
So I can sit down and talk to him.
And you can be frank with him, Mike, and just say, listen, the Board of Works, you know, isn't seeing value.
He's not going to be offended.
Yeah.
Because I've already told him, you know, just joking with him, well, that's screwed up because you guys did it.
Yeah.
You know, so he's not going to be offended by this.
I guess I'm just thinking, and it sounds like they may not be willing to budge, but maybe it can be used as leverage of saying, you know, the Board of Works doesn't see value in this, and if there was some financial value, then they probably, I mean, I think if there were financial value, I think we'd be all for it. But we're not seeing the financial value.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yes.
And is that right?
I agree. Right. In a service agreement, the one we deal with, it, when it's 12 months is over,
mm-hmm,
it stays with the person you signed the contract with, and then you start all over for another 12 months.
I see.
Okay. But I don't pay nothing between now and the next 12 months. It's like a warranty service. You know, it's like a service agreement. And so, anyways.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks for bringing that to us, Mike.
Yeah,
I hope
you.
that was helpful.
Oh, no, that's, yeah.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Okay, we'll go to bills. Did y'all have a chance? Y'all.
Y'all.
Sorry. I did spend some time in Anderson the other week, so I'm still trying to get over.
Larry should have retired earlier. It was pretty cheap this month.
That's right. That's right. See what happens when Larry retires. Do you have any questions about those? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the bills?
I'll make a motion to approve the bills for $710,248.19 as presented.
I will second that. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Good. I was a little worried there.
No, I'm
La La Land. Okay, I think that is it. Now, I will say, just for your information, and Rosie didn't mention it, but just for your information, our offer on the property next door was not accepted. So, just so you know. So, that's not going to be moving forward. Just so you know. So, it wasn't even close. So, with that being the case, Marcia, do you have anything for us?
No, I don't.
And Walter?
No, I don't. We're going to have another meeting before the 20th, or not, it's our next meeting.
Before the 20th. Why?
Well, because we have that 5K run.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like there's over 100 plus people.
There's a lot of people there, yes.
So I was just... my wife and I are going to participate as well.
So. Oh, yeah, I will be participating.
I will see you at the finish line.
Yes, you will probably make it there before me. My wife is a little upset that I signed up for a 5K while she's gone. She's on a vacation, if
I'll
you will,
carry
with a friend.
You.
So I may need that.
I'm using the golf cart.
Oh, there you go. You have it parked halfway, so you can get the other half.
That's a nice. I have nothing.
Okay, very good. Our next meeting, it looks like, is, I'm struggling to get myself together, 23rd, yes. Just so you know, for all kinds of different purposes here, it looks like, I was going to tell you something, no, I forgot it, I'm sorry. This Thursday is my Mayor's Night In from 6 to 8 p.m. I have one person signed up, so I don't know, Brad, if you'll give me a little holler again. Last time we had seven people, which was great. So in any case, that's happening. During the radio show on Thursday for WJHS, we'll be talking about a little bit about trash, just so you know there was some confusion on trash. Typically on a holiday, we have a one-day delay because the off day for our trash company is on Thursday. There was no delay, which caused people to be missed because they didn't put their trash out, expecting a delay. So Martha has been overran with calls recently. And that obviously the transition is also still kind of occurring. People who didn't get a can, or they still have their brown National Serval can and things like that. So pray for Martha's sanity. Things seem to be going at least fairly well. They've been very responsive to us, which is great. Also, this Saturday is the fire department's golf outing. I'm assuming that Tom will talk about that in our department head meeting, or excuse me, our department head reports. I'll try to put that at the beginning of the meeting. And Friday is the NDOT fuel check. They're coming in for the bridge decks over Morsch's Park. They're going to be redoing those next spring, yeah. So they're doing kind of a field check on that. And also, just so you know, for that trail extension, Mark and I are going to be walking that area, talking to those residents to let them know kind of what the plans are and how it's going to affect their property. It's all in our right-of-way, so that's not a problem, but there will be some maneuvering that they'll probably have to do because of it. So, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Press questions? William?
Even though it was highlighted the time change, I missed it. So the only question I have, what was the result of the Anna Street ordinance violation?
What I think the Board of Works decided was it was a, we're going to delay it. We're going to give a 60-day extension. In the meantime, I'm working, I'm going to need to work on getting a group of people together over there to help them out. And it's through some way, shape, or form, we're going to try to get a dumpster. And we're hoping that comes through private, right?
Yeah.
So we're working with them. Yes. Okay. Hearing nothing else, we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
I'll be back.
Do you, no.